This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Therapy sucks, or so you thought. I know it could be a little bit awkward having to make the appointment, having to go visit someone, sit down, take time out of your day. And as busy as we all are, I can understand it seems like impossible to do so. Fortunately for us at The Coffee Breakup, we're sponsored by BetterHelp. And with BetterHelp, you literally have access to a therapist at your fingertips. Coolest thing about them, literally, you sign up, create a profile, they'll match you with a therapist that's pretty much going to be with exactly what you're looking for. So how important is it with mental health? I mean, we got stressed throughout the day, whether it's work, life, your partner, whatever it may be. BetterHelp, you're able to have access to actually talk to someone about your problems that can really guide you in the right direction. I don't know about you, that's pretty important if you want to actually have like a normal life or anything, just saying. Coolest thing about us, you know, it is 10% off for all of the Coffee Breakup listeners for your first month. So sign up now at betterhelp.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's 10% off for your first entire month. Literally no excuse. Check out for your mental health today. Later.
Got it.
You think you can get away with giving your girl a ring pop?
No.
My girl, she would look at me like, no. Will you marry me? Fuck no.
Now it's beautiful. Now it's fun. Now it's what we want it to be. And we absolutely are fucking serving chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Oh, what if we were to get eloped? One, cheaper. Two, she's a photographer, so she loves that shit.
Yeah.
But we have a roadblock in the way by the name of...
It's nuts. I told you guys, the wedding. I don't even want to talk about expenses.
Nah, talk to us.
All right, so wait, before we do that, all right, let me do a quick little bit of Angelo, I got you. Who are we working with? Angelo, Alex?
Angelo.
Yeah, just know there's competition, so.
Be on top of it.
Welcome back to another episode of The Coffee Breakup. Marvin, we're back with homegirl Carly. Welcome back.
Hi.
Talking a little bit about a little recap from last time. Yeah. Life, rents, the fuck is happening with this economy? Yeah. But more so on the updates with you. So we were talking about how, you know, everything's expensive now with real estate and all this bullshit. But now you also were talking about the wedding.
I know.
So how does that kind of fit into the picture of like the next steps for
everything?
For you
is everything is so nuts. Everything is so expensive. I mean, as a business owner, everything is expensive.
Sure.
As a mother, everything is really expensive. And then it's like, as a person who's getting married, it's ridiculous.
Just stacking.
It's ridiculous. It's so insane. We're getting married in, I want to say, 20 days now.
20 days?
Yeah. The Jesus wedding Christ. Is like 20 days away. I know.
So in January.
We're freaking out. Yeah. We're Jesus. Like, I am just here. You get to the point where you're just like excited to have it. So I keep going for my final dress fitting. My final dress fitting is now tomorrow, actually.
Jesus Christ, that's happening quick.
And it's nuts. I'm just like, yeah, I know. I'm on that roller coaster ride where you're like, oh my God. And it's about to go straight down take you on the wildest ride ever. But we're so excited. But we had a wedding venue and we were like just over the moon for this venue.
Okay.
Yeah, we were super excited. We did the tours, the walkthroughs, everything. We saw quite a few different places, and we did in North Florida area. We originally would love to do something that's like where you travel, but there's 8 grandkids alone in just my immediate family, and they would murder me. It's not happening.
No way.
My sister, the first thing she did was goes, don't do any stupid destination bullshit because you know I'll kill you. And I was like, that's off the list.
Yeah,
I was
like,
okay. We actually signed, put deposit, we picked the wedding date and everything, it all aligned, and we were just really, really ready for this beautiful wedding to come true. As you start making payments, as you start finding out more of their rules and regulations, you're like, whoa, wait. This place was telling us that we couldn't serve shots.
What?
So I just said, like, my family is an incredible party family. Like, everybody thinks they know how to party, and then you meet my family and you won't hang.
Yeah.
And so I'm just here like, there's no way. My family, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get fined. My family will find a way to sneak it in, or they're just going to blatantly do it. We're going to be in trouble. So then we started figuring out like, you couldn't cover the floor because it's like original oak, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And then the wedding cutoff time was 10 p.m. And I was like, wait, what? And it's not like we're starting in the day. The wedding starts at 4:30. So I was like, I want to say like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
And so I'm here, I'm like, there's just, that's, it's not happening. Like, my family will be so upset. I will actually be so upset. We're spending all this money for 5.5, 6 hours, and we can't even do what we want to do.
That
and
is fucked. Yeah, that's
like, that's fucked.
That's crazy.
If we were paying insane money, I mean, and it was like, we got everything we wanted. We got to party all night. My brother and his wife, my sister-in-law, they did a massive wedding at the Biltmore, but we were partying till 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we were fully doing everything they wanted.
How big's your family? Like, how many people are I guess,
on your
ready
side?
To go to, well, going to the wedding?
All my siblings have had weddings of 300 people. And we're the only, I'm the only sibling out of the whole family where I capped it at 100. So we have 100 people going.
Okay. Was it a hard decision to cap it at 100?
For me, I didn't feel like it was hard. I mean, yeah. I've always been a very outspoken and pretty, I don't know, I guess like rough around the edges. So I had no hard feelings telling people like, no. Like, I told my mom, I'm like, I'm not inviting this person, this person, this person.
Fucking person I probably won't see for another 5 years.
Yeah. Well, also, too, my rule is if they don't know my middle name, they're not coming.
Oh, okay. I like that.
If they don't know my middle name, they're not coming. Because there's even, like, people you know that are acquaintances. And I just think if I don't know you to that level that you don't know my middle name, you can't come.
Fair assessment. And how does your man feel about it?
I mean, he was with me. He's like, he just like, can we get eloped? Like, he didn't
does,
care.
Does he have, that's my man. Did we get a bottle over here? Sure.
Tell him to come right now.
So, okay. So does he have a lot of family though or no?
No, he doesn't have like, his family, it was a small family. It is a small family.
Okay. That's probably why, yeah.
Kind of sounds like me and so my girlfriend, Christina, she has, I would say on her side of the family, maybe 300 alone, right?
Yeah.
And I think that we were kind of talking about like, oh, like if we were to get married, like what we do. And I'm there trying to make it make sense for us, right? Because who's the wedding for?
Yeah.
You guys.
For us.
You guys, yeah, you guys.
And then we had talked about, oh, what if we were to get eloped? One, cheaper. Two, she's a photographer, so she loves that shit.
Yeah.
But we have a roadblock in the way by the name of her mother.
I was going to say,
her mother and
you gotta drop
her mother and family, her mother and especially her family, which I understand because they want what's, you know, I guess they want her to be happy with the decision that she makes.
Sure.
Yeah. Are they going to pay for it?
I just don't know. So that's her thing. They're like, oh, we'll help. You know, we want to help you pay. But then I'm thinking, okay, they're going to help us pay. Let me ask you, how much is it more or less ballpark that it is, that your wedding is going to?
Well, if you're going to have a venue, you're looking at $40,000.
In total or the venue?
Oh, you're so cute, Marvin, dude. You're so cute, dude.
No, I think it's like I think it's in total. To give you some context, we were doing a lot of interviewing for photographers, and they're $8,000 alone for a photographer.
It's crazy.
Videographers were quoting us $15,000 to $20,000.
Dude, it's just like when it's a wedding, you have budgets. So when it's a budget, you just
But you know what's so unfair? It's just like how people just royally fuck others these days.
That's what it is.
It's so wrong, right? Like people just know you desperately need a photographer. So all the photographers started seeing, oh, everyone's charging this rate. Fine, I'm gonna charge this rate.
Especially for a wedding.
For a wedding,
they know that they're spending money. Yeah.
But you know what's
crazy?
There
is no budget, really.
Never seen anybody's work that like all of the people that we were looking at. I saw their work, and it was no shame to them, but I just was like, this does not warrant $4,000. This is so absurd. The photos were like my little sister could take it with the iPhone and it would be good. So I think if you're going to charge that, you should have some sort of backbone behind you to be able to say, look at these type of photos. I think documentary style photography is what Ivan and I have been looking for, and it's one of the hardest to find.
That's really cool.
Yes, both of us hate the like stand there and take a picture, and
we should have got my girlfriend would have hooked you guys up.
Yeah, we ended up getting Natasha, who's actually been on this podcast.
Oh, have her on.
Yes.
Cool.
She started photography.
Amazing, amazing.
I went with her in the studio one time. I took photos with her. I've never felt more comfortable in my life.
Amazing.
I've worked with a lot of female photographers, and I always felt just, she would tell me, like, you have a little papa, look up. And I love that because it's authentic and it's real. And all the photos came out really nice because she corrected me through the whole thing.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I called her and I was like, I just don't have this type of budget. What can we do? We canceled the venue up north. We lost the down payment.
So with the restrictions and all that stuff that you can't take shots with,
and like the amount that you have to pay, like the deposits start racking up. Like with, they have like this... the gratuity and stuff like that gets charged on it, the service, but they don't really like disclose that in the beginning. They let you know the service fee is going to be charged. You have to pay that like before your wedding date. So you have to start locking all these things in. Catering has to be paid by a time. This has to be paid this time. This. And once you start seeing all the things you have to lock in by a certain time, I just told Ivan, I was like, babe, what are we doing?
Yeah. Like this objectively, even, does this make sense?
Like, but like we're both business people, right? So can we just pause for a second? Like, how important is this to us? Or is it more important? This past year, I had my stepdad pass away, and he was a big part of this wedding process. So when he passed away, I was super gutted. And I was just telling myself, like, this is not what it's about. This is this stress, this chaos. We can't have fun. We have to be cut off at a certain time. Like, none of this is important or aligns with my values or what I wanted. And neither was it for Ivan. And I just didn't feel like throwing this massive production. And we, what would we be like in a have to go put ourselves in debt for the start of our marriage to be able to have a wedding? Mm-hmm. So I was like, absolutely not. We ended up moving it to my sister's backyard.
Love it.
I mean, her house is phenomenal. Okay. So I got super lucky. We moved it to my sister's backyard. And then I was like, how much is it for tents, chairs? I mean, all the basics, it was like $3,000 to rent basics. And so I was like, this is a no-brainer. We get the cutlery, the napkins, the linens, the chairs, the, you know, champagne flutes, the wine goblets, the water cups, like all the stupid things that you don't think of. And then including the tent and all that, I want to say it ended up being almost just under $4,000.
And that's how much it's supposed to cost. Because one of the things people say is the minute you say wedding, everybody just adds a few numbers to it.
100%. Yeah.
The venue, the photography, the food. Yep. Does not cost that much to feed X amount of people, to host X amount of people.
Catering was $15,000 up north at the venue.
And did they do their own catering?
No, it's a third party, but they're contracted with them, so you have to use them.
Yeah.
You can't get quotes.
Yeah.
So, when you first get engaged and you're super excited and you look at all this, you're like, yeah. Once you start making payments, you're like, this is super stupid. Yeah. Like, I could have just paid off our car. Like, we could have paid our rent for a year. Once you start thinking logically, it just wasn't what we wanted to do. It just was stupid to us.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these people, and you said it earlier, they pry on people's like emotions and they're engaged, they want to get married and they want it to be this picture perfect thing that it's just really not. Is it really worth it?
Everyone's thing. It's one day. It's the only day. You're never going to have it again. I'm like, exactly. That's why I don't fucking care. It's one day out of my entire relationship. Like, I don't, it's so insignificant.
But that's the problem, because that is what the media and people will feed you and society will feed you, because they want you to have you. They want you to feel like special that one day. Right. But at the same time,
I'm
like
special every day. Bitch.
Exactly. Exactly, dude. It's like, how foolish am I to allow people to brainwash me into thinking you know what's going to make me feel special and me feel happy?
Yes. Women don't get like, women these days aren't special all times. Women are only special on Valentine's, Mother's Day, their birthday, and when they're a bride. Like, fuck out of here. We're so awesome.
I love that.
Women make the world go round.
So a quick break to talk about our sponsorships. AG1, we just got a partnership with them, and it's been amazing. How's it been going for you?
Man, AG1 is awesome. I've been taking it for a little bit over a month now. We both have. And first thing in the morning, it's super quick to take. It's a kind of all-in-one package. It's a powder form. It makes it water nice and cold, good tasting, and it gives you everything you need. Helps you with energy, helps you with your gut health and immune system. I mean, overall, it's a great product.
Yeah, my favorite thing is I take it in the morning as soon as I wake up. That way, on my way to the gym, I'm already getting the fuel that I need. And one thing that I really like about it is that it doesn't upset my stomach as it would if I'm taking a whole laundry list of vitamins.
Yeah.
So it really starts my day with literally everything that I need to get right. And what I like about it is that as soon as I take it in the morning, it's almost like a mental check for me to say, you know what? I'm doing something for me. Because I know that, I mean, if you think about it, you wake up in the morning, you just go straight to work, you don't really eat anything. So it's like, you don't have anything in your system. At least with this, you know that the first thing that you do every single day is that you're taking care of yourself. It's a full replacement of all these other vitamins and minerals and everything that you could be buying individually that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So for literally one price, you're literally getting a full array of nutrition in a pack, in a scoop, whatever you want to do. And fortunately for us, we do have the sponsorship that with AG1, it not only are you getting like the whole subscription yep. of it, but we're also including 5 travel packs as well as a year supply worth of the vitamin D.
For sure.
So and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the vitamin D or the drops. So you can just take 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 drops depending how much you want to take. And you just, in the morning too, super quick. And what I love about the fact is there's not a bunch of pills that you have to take, which is what you were saying earlier. It's just like 1 scoop, a couple of drops, and that's it. Ready to go.
Yeah, and I've also noticed that just throughout the day, I don't know if it's like in my head that I'm taking it or if it's the fact that it's actually working, but I want to believe that it is because I feel amazing when I'm doing it. I feel more efficient. I feel like my stomach is also responding better to things when I eat. My energy levels are also better. And again, it really sets the tone for the rest of the day when I take this. So fortunately for us with this partnership, if you want to take ownership of your health, you know, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. In order to do so, go to drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. Check it out.
I like it.
Now we're so happy. Like, my mom called me and she was like, "You better not have chicken nuggets for catering." Like, she was, my mom at first, my mom is super supportive. I love her so much. And this has been a rub with all the other weddings. She kind of just has planned everything and she's made the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weddings. But for this one, I was like, "Mom, I want everyone to wear black. I don't want any flowers. We just want candles." And my mom is like, "My daughter is throwing a funeral." Like, she's like, "What am I going to do with this girl?" But yeah, once we started planning it in the backyard, it was so much more meaningful and it was exciting. And then Ivan and I were like going to the warehouse that's doing the party rental for us. We're looking at all the cutlery together and we were excited about it. We haven't done anything formal. My friend is doing our cake. My other friend is doing photography. I feel like there's so much love involved in helping us put this together.
It's more intimate as well.
Yeah. And my sisters now, since we're doing it at her house, my sister's super involved and so are my other sisters. And it's just been fun. You know, my brother-in-law is, he got ordained and he's marrying us. And we have the pub, which I've told you guys before. Yeah, yeah. My sister has this pub in her backyard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's where Ivan and I like went and felt super hard in love for each other. Like on one party night after a Casa Carly shoot, Ivan and I were in the pub and we first started flirting there. We had been friends for a whole year. And for whatever reason, that one night, I was just bubbly and flirty. And then that's where we like hit it off and fell in love. So now we get to get married and have our cocktail hour in the pub.
Yeah. I love that.
Now it's beautiful. Now it's fun. Now it's what we want it to be. And we absolutely are fucking serving chicken nuggets. Yeah, absolutely. Like, and it's so much more fun. The catering, we picked a local restaurant, Las Dos Palmas, that's right across from the falls. They're in the warehouse area, $8.10 a person.
Usually some of those are like $100 a pop.
$8.10 for arroz con pollo, maduro, yuca. Like, I was like, hell yeah.
Fuck.
So what do the numbers look like overall in comparison to?
Yeah, I would say like in total, we're able to do this whole production with flowers and all this stuff, like about under 10 grand.
And everything. That's
with everything, photography, videography, DJ, all of that. Music. DJ. My DJ is amazing. My DJ works at the Hookah Lounge that's in South Miami.
That's what you gotta do, dude. You gotta fucking pick people like there and friends.
I was like, if we do it in Miami, I have connections. I know people. We can run around. The Hookah Lounge every Friday and Saturday night has the best hip hop and R&B from like the only good era of hip hop and R&B. And then he always works in like Bad Bunny, reggaeton, like all the good stuff. And so I went to him. I'm like, "Will you DJ my wedding?" And he was like, "Yeah, fuck yeah." That's it. He just told me like, "Can I have a hookah?"
So I love all of this. Is coming out to right around 10 grand.
Yeah.
Versus
like 40. And then Ivan and I start our new years, our new marriage in a happy place with a wedding that was paid off.
30 extra grand.
Then 30 extra grand.
Less in debt.
Way less headache. And then we get to party till 3 o'clock in the morning. All of our friends are with us. Like, it's just been so much nicer.
I also feel like there's a lot less pressure because when you do find a venue, right? Like, everything has to look perfect. And then you have your wedding planner who's looking at everything. Oh, this doesn't match. Or the pictures are over here. You got to go over here. Oh, this doesn't make sense. We got to update this one. This looks like shit. And it's like, dude, when you're at like
somewhere where you're comfortable. You're like, dude, we're all here to have a good time.
And that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
And when you complicate it too much, it's like, it's not even fun anymore. Like a lot of these women who got married, they're like, man, it's so stressful. I got to make sure everybody's arrived. This and that. 100%.
Bridezilla.
Like, yeah. But you know what happens? Like, it turns you into a monster. Because I fully feel like no one wants to talk about it because everybody likes to be like the creme de la creme, right? And on social media, everybody's like, look at this wedding I threw. And I'm like, how poor are you right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't fucking lie. Yeah. You are so poor.
You're struggling.
Like, I see people who have six-figure weddings and they don't, like, they're renting, like, their apartment and they're driving, like, you know, cars that they don't like.
Like
even if it's
credit
a piece
cards
of shit,
and, like,
credit
loans
cards
just to pay for
their refinancing their home. We talked about refinancing their homes for weddings. And literally, I got into this mindset where I'm like, first of all, after being in finance for a while, I was saying, why are we using the money out of our pocket to pay for this wedding? Absolutely not. I'm not busting my ass to pay for this. And like I said, my stepdad passed away, who was a big financial piece of this puzzle. And so when Ivan and I were sitting here figuring all the ways that we're going to do it, I was like, no, we have to get a loan or something. I don't want to use our money. We can pay it back little by little. And then I'm just sat there. I'm on the computer Googling these loans and looking at all these things. I was getting so fucking stressed. And then I see like how much the flowers cost and stuff. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. We didn't even want flowers. It's just the welcome bouquet. What the fuck is a welcome bouquet?
Some made up bullshit.
And aren't they going to die? If they're really going to fucking
die.
They
do
die.
Yes. The bridesmaids' bouquets were all like $150, $200 each. I was like, no, these bitches are going to walk with nothing in their hands. Like, I started getting angry. I was getting angry. It makes you unhappy. And then when you finally realize what it's for, I mean, if you're upset, if you're frustrated, if you're stressed planning your wedding, you're absolutely doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're making a wedding for other people, and that's why you're so stressed and turning into a bridezilla, because you care what other people think.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
But once you step back and you're like, I just want to party to like Sean Paul and have shots, and you know, that's all that matters.
I think if we were to have a wedding, it would look a lot like yours, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, for me and my partner, we're gonna get eloped. So there's gonna be nothing at all. But I think that's the next best thing.
The
well,
vibe.
That's the best. It's obviously better relative depending on what you like. But if you're gonna get married, I think that's the way to do it for sure.
Partying.
Yeah.
And having fun. That's what it's about. It's
and
a celebration.
Time with your family. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
and
a
doing it in a way where you don't fucking do a terrible financial decision that's gonna have to haunt you for the next, you know, 5-10 years.
Haven't you guys ever seen the post where it's like the people who spend the least on their weddings and their engagement rings are the happiest?
No.
Yes.
So can you send that to my girlfriend, please?
Let me see that engagement ring.
Listen, you have a plug here. So
I am forcing her to watch this episode. She's got to see this.
It's crazy. Yeah. Once you're involved in it, I think is when you realize it. But some people won't do what Ivan and I did, which is lose the deposit and say, fuck it. Because with losing the deposit and paying for this, we're still saving a ton of money. And I don't think it was more about the money aspect. I think it was more about the happiness aspect. And logically, let's say we had $100,000 in the bank account.
Yeah.
We spent 40. What a bad business decision that
is. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You say
that scenario to anybody about anything, they're going to be like, dude, what a horrible investment.
For 6 hours.
Like you lost $40,000 in 6 hours.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Would you ever put money into anything that someone would tell
you
that?
But then people won't invest in a business. Or invest in themselves. People will be like, that gym membership is way too expensive.
but you'll
lose $100,000 in 6 hours because that's what you're supposed to do. I don't know.
So true. Or if you put yourself in a position where it's like, okay, how much do I make an hour or a month? Or
by the hour.
Yeah, by
how
the
many
hour.
Hours is it?
Oh, how long is this going to take me to pay off for 8 hours or six
how
hours?
How many hours do I have to work?
And then now you're talking about maybe a year. Maybe you make 40 grand a year, and now you're about to spend 40 grand in 6 hours.
2 hours.
Or, yeah. Does that
make
sense?
I mean, 2 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Does that make sense to you? Like, that's insane.
No, it's crazy. But then, you know, people don't take into the consideration. It could. People don't take into consideration. It's like, yes, that's what you lost on the wedding, but how much does it cost to pay your life for a year? And then the best part is like, that's the wedding. So then everybody goes, where are you going on your honeymoon? And then that's where people are cheap. People are cheap on their honeymoon. And I'm like, no, spend 15,000 on your honeymoon and spend $8,000 on your wedding.
My type of guy.
Because at least the 15,000 on your honeymoon is like the foundation of the start of your marriage, right? And you get to experience something where it's like, maybe you went to a restaurant that's always sold out and you spent, I don't know, $2,000 at dinner. It might. Some people are like, that's absurd. I think it's absurd to spend $10,000 for other people's dinner. I will absolutely fucking spend $3,000 or $4,000 on my dinner with my man and have an experience that we're enjoying as opposed to $10,000 for dry chicken for everyone to enjoy.
That they may not even like, or they're going to probably talk shit, or this
everyone
shit's cold.
Everyone talks shit
or
about it anyway. You know what? Like, I would rather be Uber XL on my freaking honeymoon and having people massage my feet under a waterfall. I don't fucking know. Riding horseback backs. I don't know. Jacuzzi on the balcony.
So, no, go ahead, because I want to talk honeymoon.
Okay, yeah. What do you attribute that mentality to? Because
my job, my business.
Because you firsthand, you just understand money differently. You think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You think business. That like other women that when they just see the wedding, they just think of the feeling and what it looks like without really taking into consideration the expense.
So, because Ivan was really up for eloping, and the one reason I wasn't up for eloping is I really just felt like it would be nice to walk an aisle in a wedding dress. For if I had a daughter one day, right? Okay. I would want my daughter to see the nice, happy, beautiful marriage that her father and I had.
Okay.
I also want my son, Maverick, now to see that like his mom did things right, because I want him to like respect a female in the future. And for me and for my values, for my morals, that was just something that I felt this has to happen. I want my kids to see I married their father, and this is the ceremony we had. It was a celebration of a coming together with us and God, and it was important to us, you know? Yeah. So that's why I did it. I think sometimes mothers from just like experiences with friends and stuff, I think moms set this like toxic seed into daughters' brains that you have to have this outrageous wedding and stuff. And I think that moms sometimes get carried away. My mom, when she started like, you know, seeing how I was going to do the wedding and stuff like that, yes, like we had bumped heads and stuff, but my mom at the end of the day still has my back, and she always is like, whatever makes you happy.
So she would respect your voice, like if you said something like no,
right,
there was still a boundary that was respected there.
But my mom also has always respected me and understood me as a woman, and even to this day will say like I'm the most hard-headed to deal with. It's like everyone can give me advice and then everybody braces for impact because they know I'm going left. No matter how many times, everybody will sit there with a whiteboard and be like, please do not go left. And I'm like, awesome. Going left. Yeah. That's where I'm going. So my mom knows, you know, and I think that I've always been really grateful and lucky to have that connection with her, because other moms, I mean, I know people who have only had outrageous, absurd weddings because their mothers forced them to, and their mothers, because they were paying for it, they wanted full control and all this stuff. And it's just like not what they wanted at the end of the day. But I would never want to start my marriage off of something my mom wants. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Like, what does my mom have to do with us?
Clip that.
This is a really important episode.
Yeah. clip that.
You want to know? You
no, because there. I love that. And it's a very respectable reason. I actually like that. It's very kind of you to say. Are you guys doing a honeymoon? That would have been my next question. And in terms of your engagement ring, what was that like? How much are you familiar with the spending? How much he spent, or does it matter?
Yes.
That would have been my follow up.
Yeah.
Question.
What's your opinion on engagement rings in general?
I'm a jeweler. I'm in the jewelry industry.
Yeah, of course.
So like lab grown diamond to me is just not my vibe.
Not it?
Okay. So you don't spend a lot of money on the wedding. You spend a lot of money on the ring.
Money on the ring.
I do think that there's like differences, right?
Okay. So we're learning here. This is important.
I'll answer your question first. Yeah. So yes, we are taking a honeymoon.
Okay.
We have yet to finalize the details, which is so funny.
In 20 days.
But yeah, we want to leave that Monday. There was a place that we were had originally picked out. It's called Malibu Rocky Oats Estates. And it is a giant helicopter pad and a mansion in the middle of Malibu. You can rent it out. It's 3 nights minimum. It's actually not absurd pricing. You would think it is. It's on a vineyard, and they've got like this petting zoo, horses, the whole nine yards.
Okay.
The reason we were selecting that place was because I wanted to go take pictures in my wedding dress on the helicopter pad surrounded by the mountains.
Almost like elopement style.
Right. But then they let us know that they no longer host weddings. And so I wasn't allowed to even photograph in a wedding dress there. So it totally defeated the purpose for us going out there. We tried everything. We had a travel agent reach out and see if there was something we could work out. We tried all of that and they just weren't interested. Hard no, to the point where when they found out that that was what we were wanting to do there, mind you, just remote control on a tripod and take our beautiful photos. That's what we wanted. But once they found out that's what they wanted us to do, they were like, we would also like to kindly ask that the couple puts a deposit and we will review security footage for the exterior premises. Once we see that the couple did not take photos, you can have your security deposit
back.
What
the f- That's crazy.
When you see the place, I think you'll understand why they have such insane rules, because the place is insane. It's breathtaking. You wake up in the morning and you have clouds.
But just for picture,
they were so crazy about no photos.
Maybe because it would set a precedence that then now everybody would do it, or
I don't know.
That's more money for them if everybody wants to book them.
Or you I think what they're in fear of is like having people with photographers and drones and stuff like that. Then it becomes more people being hosted at the property. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know,
perhaps. Yeah. It just brings more than staff and equipment that can probably.
Or people probably are like, then can we shoot a music video here? Who knows?
Oh, good.
Whenever I've seen people who are strict about their properties, they always have a horror story that validates it. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But now we're switching gears.
Okay,
so not like, that anymore.
Not that anymore. We're looking like Cabo or someplace in Mexico.
Okay.
Because both of us have had wonderful times in Mexico. It's always party and a blast. And everyone's welcoming. So yeah, we're looking at that.
That's going to be for the honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, well, you guys got to figure it out, man. That's next month.
I know. We have Kayla Bar Travels. She's literally like another sister to me. She's my older sister, best friend.
I love that.
Perfect.
She's actually super cool. You guys have to go with your partners on one of her group trips.
Who is this?
Kayla. So, hi, Kayla. She takes people on group tours. But you can be an individual so that you can travel and not be alone.
Ah, okay.
Or you can go with your partner so that you can take a huge trip and have 5-star experiences. Your hotel's booked, your travel. So like train or car ride, whatever it is, the whole itinerary is planned for you. All of your tours and attractions is all mapped out. And then you can go with your partner, experience this. It would cost you way more if you guys did it just the two of you, but you do it in a group. So it's insanely inexpensive.
Interesting.
So Ivan and I are doing Peru with her and Iceland next year.
Ooh, Iceland's going to be amazing.
Have you ever been?
No.
We're there.
How many days are you doing in Iceland?
It's a week, I think.
It's a minimum.
It's good.
I'm so excited.
It's breathtaking.
Ridiculous.
She's doing ridiculous. A Thailand one now. She does trips all the time.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you get to go and you meet all the people that go with you have been so cool.
Nice.
You should do some shit like that, dude. You've traveled so much. You know shit. I don't know why you're not like setting shit up for people and setting it and charging a commission of that. You could be the travel guy. Marvin the Travel Guy.
Yeah.
Be your new name.
Marvin the Travel Guy.
Marvin the Travel Guy.
People should just call in the show and you should recommend an itinerary for them.
Oh, we could do that.
We'll have like a wedding, an elopement / honeymoon special.
Yeah.
People can call in and be like, where are you planning? And then
we'll make it happen. I like it.
That's awesome.
I want to know the ring. Engagement situation.
So yeah, I feel like you're dancing around the question.
Yeah, you spit it some heat.
Trying to avoid it.
Because lab-grown diamonds... And no for you? Why not?
So let's start off with, Ivan, do you guys know how he proposed, like what ring he proposed to me with?
No. You have it on? No.
He proposed with a ring pop. Like the candy ring pop.
Yeah.
So
okay, I like it.
It was one random night, and then he just told me like, hey, I have to go to Target. Like, I need to pick up deodorant and some stuff. I was like, it's so late. Why do you need deodorant right now? What are you going to, like, sweat profusely while we sleep? But he was so set. Like, I need my deodorant. I want to have it in the morning. Whatever. Comes back from Target. I had, like, been, I'm in bed, like a total potato, about ready to pass out watching Seinfeld. And then he was like doing something in the bathroom. He's just being weird. And I was like, all right, weirdo. Like, I remember calling him a weirdo. And then he comes to the bed. He looked like he was like kind of shaking in his hands.
You felt like something was getting a little. Something was up.
I literally was like, he did drugs or something. I don't know what's happening, but he looks so weird. And then he just came over to me and he just grabbed my hand. And then he like gets down on both knees. And then he like, while I'm in the bed, I'm literally like this, like, what is wrong? And then he just told me, he's like, I love you. I want to be with you. And then he just like pours his heart out to me. And he's like, I love Maverick. You guys are like my everything. And today was such a beautiful day. And every day before this has been so perfect. And he's like, I just feel it that I know. And I'm so sure of this. Like, I just want to do this. And he goes, I don't want to get a perfect ring. And I don't want to plan a proposal. Like, he's like, I don't want to put so much more time into it. I just know that I want to be with you. And so I was still there like, what's happening right now? Like, I
was like, I'm here like teary-eyed. She's there like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I was like, what's happening? And I felt like for a second, I couldn't even fully hear what he was saying because my heart started racing so fast. I felt like, oh my God, what's happening? And then he's like, Carly, will you marry me? And then he gives me this like lime green ring pop. And yeah, I was like,
no way.
What? Like, this is what you went to fucking Target for? And it was like 11 o'clock at night. I was so lost. I'm like, are you serious? And he was laughing. He's like, yes. Like, how the hell do you pick a ring for a jeweler? There's just absolutely no way.
True.
And then we were 5 months of dating. So we had been friends a full year and then 5 months of dating.
Okay, okay.
And then that was it. He just knew, like, and he was so crazy. I kept telling him, like, you're fucking crazy. And then I said yes, obviously. Yeah. And so then the journey was like, my mom's first thing is like, okay, I love the ring pop.
Sure, sure.
10-10. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. But she was like, are we planning on doing a ring? What is the thing? So Ivan was like, I really want your help in, you know, picking out a ring.
Your mother?
No, with me.
You specifically?
Yeah, well, because
makes sense.
He was like, I know how you are. Like, he's just like, I just know you. So he was like, I don't know what you like your style. All my rings that I do have are so different. He doesn't know a size. Yeah. I've never told him like, I like this style ring. I've always just told him like, you get me something and then I'll like it. Like, I've always been like that.
Yeah.
And he hates that. So,
men don't work well with that.
We made an appointment to go see stones for me to set myself. So we just went to go pick out like a diamond.
Okay.
And then I was going to set it myself because I was like, I'll just make my own ring. So we went to go see all the diamonds and none of them like stood out to me. I was like, like I've seen all these before.
Yeah.
I was like,
so my man was on to something.
He had to do it. Yeah.
He knew, see? So, yeah. Hey, he knows.
Yeah, I was like, I've seen this before. And this lady was like, this is a perfect round diamond. And I was like, great. I guess, whatever. And then over in the corner, they had this like giant tray of like green and light green and turquoise, all these different colors. And I'm like, what the hell? I go, what are those over there? Are those like emeralds or are they topaz? Like, which ones are those? She goes, yes, they're emeralds. She pulls them and I see them. And there's this one that was just this giant oval. I mean, it was like a fucking rock. It's 7 carats. And I was like, what the hell? I think it's like 6 or 7 carats. So I see it and I was like, I want that one. And because it was a lesser, like deeper green, it was like a messed up emerald, which I was like, I didn't even know like you could have like a shit emerald because it's lighter in color or whatever. It was cheaper. It was like the cheapest. And so I was like, yeah, that one. I want that one. Like the reason I wanted it, I don't even think it clicked for Ivan until I told him, was it matched the color of the ring pop he proposed with.
Oh,
and
that's
the sentiment. That was the sentimental value that I immediately connected to this stone with, where I was like, it's literally the same color as this ring pop. So we ended up with that like green, you know, giant, beautiful ring. And then I don't really wear it a lot because it's so big and it's like very special and obviously don't go just anywhere with that piece. But I ended up setting it myself in a plain, you know, solid gold band and set up super high. No diamonds or anything touched onto it. And then my stepdad, when he was alive, he was like, well, you can't just have a green ring. It's not going to match all your outfits. So then there was an insanely beautiful, like almost $40,000 diamond ring in the store. And he had told Ivan, he's like, I'll hook you up. They made some sort of deal. And then I ended up with.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
The fat ring.
Which is?
So, the diamond, yeah.
Get up and... How big is this?
Almost three carats.
Man.
It was more, the ring was worth more because of the color of the diamond, color and clarity.
Yeah, but so you have two rings?
Yes, I have two rings now.
And this one is the one you wear every day?
Yeah, yeah. I wear it mostly every day.
Wow, look at that.
See.
There we go. Okay. And the other one is more for like special occasions?
Yeah, I would say it's more for special occasions.
There we go.
I wanted, like, when I saw it, I loved it because I've never been a fan of the halo. I just wanted, like, one fat chunk rock. And I felt like when he gave that to me, I just felt like it was very happy. It was very special. And it has also beautiful meaning and connection. It's the one I'll walk the aisle with since I don't have my stepdad around. This is like my way of having him with me for that day.
Okay.
So
it worked perfect for you. Yeah. But so lab grown. Cause I, I've been doing some research and whatnot.
Let's go back to the topic.
Come down a little bit.
Come back to earth.
Relax. It's one day only.
But the ring is gonna last a lifetime.
Forever.
But correct me if I'm wrong. You're the expert. A lot of people are saying that you can't really tell the difference.
You can't.
Unless you cannot.
You cannot.
Even you can, because you see
to the natural eye, a lab grown diamond is technically a perfect diamond. They're usually like the highest color grade, and there are no inclusions in the stone because they're lab grown.
Right,
so it's gonna look super bright, super sparkly, and just like insanely gorgeous. I think someone like my mother is like a serious expert in it. Like she's actually like GIA certified, and she says that she can tell them apart. I can't, and most normal people can't.
You won't see it, so. It's a little shiny.
The quality.
Most normal people can't. Yeah, a lab-grown diamond is stunning because it's, like I said, made to be a perfect diamond.
But in the sense, is it as strong as diamond as well? Like when it comes to that?
It's a diamond.
Oh, okay. So it's the same.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a diamond. It's just like if you bought a car put together or you put a car together, at the end of the day, it's still a functioning vehicle and car. It does the exact same thing, looks the same, runs the same. It's a freaking car.
Okay.
So a diamond is the same thing.
So I'm waiting for the negative. I'm waiting for the bad thing here.
The only thing is I have always fallen in love with stones, like how I fell in love with that emerald, because of their inclusions, because of their uniqueness, because of, like, there are diamonds that have certain inclusions, like when you look at it up close and it looks like there's a star inside or a little heart or something like faulty with the diamond that makes it special. Right. And if you find like diamond that has very high color and it's a very nice like carat size and all those things, they're hard to fucking find. You have to put work into finding that ring.
See what you're saying.
Then also at the end of the day, like a lab grown diamond just really doesn't have like any type of like value to it, you know? And I always look at like my diamond ring, like let's say I just have boys for the rest of my life, right? Like I would probably take my fat diamond and give it to one of my sons, you know, and have them put it in, I don't know, like a pinky ring or something, who knows, but you can just remake that diamond in so many different ways, you know. Or if, like, you know, I'm old and I'm 90 and I want to leave this to my kids and tell them sell it and divide it or whatever, they're gonna have some sort of like value and equity in the rings, right? Okay. So it just doesn't go to waste. It's like for you as a man, if you were to go buy yourself a very nice Rolex, you wouldn't go get a fake Rolex, you would get a Rolex. Sure. Right. So you would want it to come in the nice box and have a good resale value and stuff like that. Some people don't care about resale value because they're like, I'm not going to get divorced, whatever. I don't know. It's just something about it having like a value to it that I think.
So a lab grown diamond wouldn't have much of a resale value?
No, at all.
Okay. Mm-mm. That was good to
also to you. Diamond rings that have halos, like a very tiny center stone, but then a lot of smaller diamonds around it, those don't have great resale value either. You're better off getting a lab grown because the diamonds are so small, most jewelers can't really do anything with that.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And a lot of jewelers don't buy a ring and then turn around and resell it. Some do. Most jewelers break the whole thing down. Either sell it and then sell the stone separately or make something totally different.
Okay.
So, like, that's why I always said if I were to have a diamond, it would be just, like, one diamond, you know, like a big rock, which can be pretty expensive. I always tell people, girls are like, I want a one carat, I want a carat and a half, or I would like 2 carats. But not that stuff doesn't matter. It's more like the size, the dimensions matter, because you can have a ring that's a carat and then you can have a ring that's a carat and a half, and the carat can be more expensive than the carat yeah. and a half because of color or because of shape.
Color, yeah. Cut. What else?
Yes. Clarity. You can have a carat and a half, and it costs you like $25,000, $30,000 because of how special the diamond is.
But the carat,
there's a lot that goes into it.
The higher the carat, the bigger the size of it, right?
Not always. Not always. Okay. Not always, because you could have something that's like the dimensions are slightly different, but the diamond has a lesser quality. Mm-hmm. So if you find a smaller diamond that's like one carat and it's just got like insane color and all those things, like that one will be super expensive. And then you can find something that's a carat and a half, and it can look like the exact same size, but be way less.
Yeah.
Some people can't tell. I can tell. Like, if something looks foggy, I can tell, like, oh, the clarity's off on that. If you see something super bright white, you're like, oh, my God, that's, like, a super great color diamond, you know? So it's just stuff that you can tell. At the end of the day, your ring is your fucking ring.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nobody should be that close checking out your ring. But if you see a girl, like, with a rock on that's got, like, insane color and clarity, you're going to see that thing from across the room. Right. Like, you'll look at it and you'll be like, that's a fucking ring. Like, that girl is very married, you know?
And so, in terms of yours, carat-wise, are you comfortable? What size
it's
are we?
Three, right? I think,
yeah, it's three.
Two, three. Yeah. I don't know.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's big. That's expensive. Have you looked? Yeah. Have you looked?
I have looked.
Not just lab grown is what? Is that moissanite? Is it the same thing, or is that different?
No, moissanite and lab-grown diamonds are two different
things. So what's more?
I thought moissanite is lab grown.
No, moissanite is if you were to say like topaz. It's like a type of stone.
Different, okay.
Different category.
Okay.
If you were to do moissanite or lab grown, lab grown all the way.
Okay.
Moissanite in person looks like for me, like as a jeweler, like if I see moissanite, I can pick up on it in 10 seconds.
You
like
see
I
it?
Can
see okay. This is
it looks similar to me, like a cubic zirconia.
I was.
And cubic zirconia is not plastic. It is a crystal. It's a stone. So people think like, oh, cubic zirconia, because Claire's sells things that are CZ. CZ doesn't equal plastic. It's still a type of crystal. And there are high grade CZs that people use. Like Casa Carli uses a very, very high grade imitation diamond. And it's a cubic zirconia. So it's like there are different levels. Lab grown over moissanite. All the way.
Okay, cool.
There's a lot of famous brands on Instagram and stuff that are pushing moissanite left and right. And when you see it in person, it's very, very different.
Yeah.
Really?
Very, very different. Yeah.
You have to see it in person, right? Because sometimes the videos and the pictures could be
so different.
They put it like the perfect light and the perfect angle. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And you probably see it in person. I might not know like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're using a real diamond to add, and then they send you some Claire's fucking.
People do that all the time.
It's fucked up.
People do that all the time. Like, people do that It's so they bad.
Flex the real shit, though.
And
the
then
high
you go,
shit,
and then they give you something totally different. It's so fucked. It's just like a lot of brands that push their jewelry. They'll push a chain that's solid, you know, 14 or 18 karat gold. And then they'll tell you, like, buy our gold filled one. You get it. It's a bright yellow. And you're like, why is this so different from the video? Because they're wearing the real version. it's a messy world out here. But yeah, I mean, I just did an engagement ring for one of my friends. I had to hold the secret for so long. They just got engaged in Cabo. And I was super excited about that.
Okay.
But yeah, he spent like a decent amount on a carat and a half. Obviously, I super hooked him up, and we ended up getting him like a GIA certified diamond, which comes with all of its paperwork. You have to get insurance on it. Like, it's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, I mean, there are payment plans and things that you can do. The difference is that's on their hand for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
That ring also gets passed down a lot of times to daughters. Like, a lot of times daughters will be given that ring. You can put that into a necklace. I remade engagement rings into like a bracelet or something like that. There's a lot you could do with it.
So talk to me about the what's like a good price? What's a fair price? Because some people, women, they say, well, you know what? It has to be at least this amount. If it's less, they're cheap ass. If you really love this person, you're going to spend
the
money.
That's unfair.
A lot of it is kind of fucked up, no?
It's unfair. I think that's
not everybody can afford. You know, yeah. Your man, you know, obviously
we were super, super lucky. I mean, if you buy a stone. Repop. Yeah, if you buy
this
a stone,
one.
Though.
And then the other one.
Yeah.
Two rings, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
But if you buy a stone and then you have it set by a jeweler, it's a lot of times going to be cheaper. right? Like than if you buy something set up. But I wouldn't say that there's like a dollar amount, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if Ivan came to me with like the tiniest little diamond, I still would have said yes. I said yes with a ring pop. I didn't know that there was intentions to go get a real ring behind it.
Really? You must have thought that that this can't be it.
Yeah, you're going to walk down the aisle with a ring pop? You're going to walk the rest of your life with a ring pop? You must have fuck out of here. You think you can get away with giving your girl a ring pop?
No.
My girl, would you look at me like, no. Will you marry me? Fuck no. Not with that. 100%. If she was here, we would ask her. She would tell you no.
You know what it is? I think that he really knows that I've always been a very go with the flow person. And so if he had told me like, we're going to go to JCPenney's and get some basic rings until I can pay for a $30,000 ring for you or something like that, I would have been like, we're out. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that I've always been able to kind of like sit back because I always know where we're going to be. So I'm not really worried about like what happens right now.
I like that.
Yeah. I always know like, okay, we have goals and we're going somewhere. And I think that's important. You and your partner should always be on the same level with what are your goals, because then you understand like, yeah, does it make sense to have a $40,000 wedding? Because that's not where we want to spend our money, right? Like that doesn't align with our goals. Mm-hmm. If you guys always bring each other back down to earth, we got very lucky. We had my stepdad's help. I'm a jeweler. We bought the emerald at wholesale price. I set it and did it myself, so we didn't pay cost of labor and stuff.
Okay.
It's completely different. Yeah, but whenever anybody comes to me and they're like nervous picking a ring for their like other one, like whoever their partner is, I always just say like, you don't want to put yourself in a position where making monthly payments on this is going to cause stressors. Mm. So luckily there's like BreadPay Financial, or you know, like a lot of different companies out there. Afterpay even does up to like 20 grand now, where you can make like in Klarna, you can make $100.
I've seen Affirm, I think it's another
Affirm.
One.
Affirm, you can make $100 installment payments and just pay off a ring little by little. I think like a nice like $5,000 to $8,000 is
okay.
A good price point.
Fair price point.
I think it's a fair price point. Yeah. I think if you like know your jewelers and who you're working with, you can find something nice. And then 10 would be like a nice ring, but definitely up there. But
I guess it's also, like you were saying, you got to do some legwork. You got to see what she likes. And if you can maybe put it right together, like know the right jewelry, maybe you can just buy the stone. And then like it's essentially what you were saying. Just like do a little bit of research.
This
goes a long way.
Again, like people have to put effort into it. Some people don't want to put effort, and so they'll just go get a ring or whatever. If you want to find something nice and something special, you can. There's options out there, you know. But also, you could buy like Moyes and I are lab grown and be like, hey, in our 5-year anniversary, I'm going to replace the center stone to a bigger one, and it'll be a real diamond or something. Like anniversaries, maybe you could do like a diamond upgrade.
That's what I'm
trying to sew my girlfriend on.
Yeah.
So for the long run. 10, 15 years.
maybe 10, 20.
10 years after.
It'll be a day, but we're going to be there, you know, forever, together. Right? Yeah. We'll get it eventually. Let me ask you, I wanted to kind of get your opinion in the sense of, have you heard how like diamonds is like this market that's,
read my fucking mind,
dude.
Like
I am
2 minutes ago. I was like, "Are they really that rare?
And are they really that rare? Have you heard of what's the company? Was it De Beers, De Bears? Have you heard of that?
No, talk to me.
No, oh, I was hoping you knew.
No,
there's like this. You know what I'm talking
about. I'm not familiar with that.
There's like a company. I think it's called like De Beers, De Bears, or whatever. That they basically own like 90 to 95% of the overall market of diamonds, and they have it kind of. Since they own all of it, they can kind of jack up the price and charge whatever. But diamonds, they say, is they're not really as rare as they make it seem. But because they own all the diamonds, they kind of say, well, this is the price because it's rare, but they just have them all.
Yeah, they say that.
You ever heard that? Let me see if I can.
They say diamonds aren't like this rare thing, like, and the price that you're paying for is most of it is just markup.
Well, I don't think each diamond would be considered like rare because each one has its different type of, like I said, inclusions or color or shape. Like each one is different. You can make them all the same, but I don't think there's like a diamond shortage. Like I don't think like it's hard to find a diamond.
But do you feel like people are paying 10, 15, 20 grand for a diamond because the companies or over the years and decades, they've made people believe that you have to spend X amount of money on a diamond in order to show the love to your partner. Like, you know, same thing with kind of, I don't know, fucking lobster. Lobster is not expensive, but society has taught us that
lobster
it's rare.
Costs a lot.
And it's expensive. But they used to give it to prisoners back in the days.
They used to give it to
prisoners
because they saw them. They thought that they were like the cockroaches.
They're bottom feeders.
Yeah,
they are.
Like the crustacean, yeah.
Yeah.
So they thought that they were disgusting, like pieces of, I guess, But animals, shellfish. Whatever, yeah. Shellfish. So they would give them to all these like slaves and prisoners nice. Because it was nothing. But now,
and then rich people, delicacy. Yeah, rich people started like, you know what, I want that. Iraq, it's sent up the price, and now it's like, oh my god, lobster's expensive. And so kind of the same thing with maybe diamonds.
I think. I mean.
Oh, you don't
really this know. World is a little fucked in general. I mean, I think that diamonds have always been something. Like even back, like in the. I don't even know as far back in time as you can go. Diamonds sure. always carried value. Tell me.
Okay. Why diamonds are expensive. This is a brief little portion of an article. With ownership of these mines, I guess it starts there, De Beers was now able to tightly control the global diamond supply. Mm-hmm. De Beers would only release enough diamonds onto the market to meet annual demand, creating the appearance that diamonds were rarer than they actually were, enabling them to inflate diamond prices.
Is this factual or this is like
this is real.
A conspiracy theory?
No, this is real. That's this is crazy. De Beers, the company De Beers.
I wonder if my mom has background information on that because she's been in jewelry for 40 years.
Okay, so she made
De Beers' marketing strategies from the early 20th century made diamonds appear more desirable and expensive than other types of stones. Mining companies with control over diamond supply that allows them to drive up diamond prices to fuel their profits. I'm going to send this over to you guys. Nice little
I think that's like a lot of things, though, right?
It is a lot of things.
Like Hermes, like you can't just go buy and but you can't just go in and buy a Birkin bag. Can they make more Birkin bags? Yeah, but you have to be invited to buy a bag. Right,
exclusive.
Super exclusive, right? I think that's like a lot of different like designer style things. So somebody obviously saw a great market and potential and said, let me like withhold some.
I'm going to let y'all ponder on this.
Yeah, I think that that's what happened there. But that's crazy. I've never heard that ever.
I've heard that a few times.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to see what you felt. Hopefully, I thought maybe you had some sort of things behind it.
There's so many diamonds out there. Like there's like an abundance of diamonds out there. There really is. You can find so many different styles, shapes. All the jewelers that are in SIBO building, forget it. You could walk. Yeah. You're going to see every style diamond you could ever think of.
So it's like the price is kind of just made up. Like they somebody said,
think about it,
this is worth 10 grand. And then that's what they just say. Okay, but does it cost 10 grand?
They're like, oh, this is a really rare diamond. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you got like another 100 in your drawer, dude. Yeah.
But this is the one that's very rare.
Right.
I think all prices are made up. Yeah. Everything's made up. Like who was the one who said, this is the value of this?
Well, I think it ultimately depends on labor. And like and also the...
extracting it. And
why are eggs $15 then?
Depends on the quality of the egg.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you're getting organic pasture raised. You're getting organic pasture raised.
But even like non-organic pasture raised. And organic pasture raised, when you look it up and you see how these animals are treated, it's the fucking same. It's just packaged differently. They put a green label, like, you know, it's great for you. Maybe. Just like all the kids cereals that are like organic and all these things, non-MGO. It doesn't matter. It's still super shit for the kids. Yeah. But somebody out there was the bold enough to be like, I'm gonna charge $15 for this fucking sack of eggs.
Well, think of like designer brands, right? You got a t-shirt at Walmart, for example, a pack of four, the whole pack costs you like $15.
Or you
bucks.
Buy the same thing or at you Fear get of God.
Yeah. yeah. Right? And then it's like, well, how much does that cost?
Insane amounts of money.
It's money we can't afford.
Okay, exactly. So Louis Vuitton has like these gold pair of hoops that like everybody obsesses over, and they also have a lot of rings. People are obsessed with their jewelry. They're gold tone. They're not even gold plated. Like, there's not an ounce of real gold in those pieces. They're fucking gold plated. You could probably get that for a dollar in Hong Kong. I mean, it is absurd. Not even, maybe 50 cents. But they're literally the cheapest pair of earrings you could own. People wear those earrings and their earlobes are like turning red. One, because they're super heavy, but two, because there's like, you don't know
cheap
if they're
quality,
using
brass,
nickel, copper, which people are usually allergic to. They're not hypoallergenic pieces. Forget it. That gold tone comes off very quickly, but people still spend tons of money because it's Louis.
Fucking scam. And they're spending the money on marketing and telling people, hey, buy this, and you're like, oh, exclusive.
Marketing dollars. Yeah. You got to make it up somewhere, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Which the resale value on things like that are garbage, because if you go to resell it and it looks silver because the gold tone wore off, now you can't hold that piece. But at least like a bag, let's say if you bought an expensive bag or something like that, you go to resell it, like it has value to it because it's still a nice bag, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy out here.
I like it. I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about, because obviously you have so many new things happening in your life, very exciting. How's Maverick with with your man, like you guys are about to get married. How was that relationship, that dynamic? Because that must have been a very important decision. Like,
yeah,
you know, they have to get along.
Also, yeah. Overall, yeah, like what's also changed from just dating
to now living together?
To now about to get married.
He's like, about to be your husband.
It's crazy.
What's all that that's changed, including Maverick as well?
Ivan and I didn't live together till after he proposed. So it was, okay. That was like a new dynamic that we kind of got used to. Which I actually liked. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. And I did tell him that. It was like, listen, I have a child. So I'm not just going to move a man into his space.
Ooh, yeah,
unless it's someone who is actually going to be a serious part of my life. And if you want to be a serious part of my life, I need the commitment. Once commitment is there, you can move in type thing.
Okay.
But he had already had intentions of proposing when we discussed that. And it was like, I would say maybe 4.5 months in, he was already looking at rings and stuff. So when he heard that too, like he kind of at least knew like, okay, yeah. He actually said it was a big factor that solidified that he really wanted to marry me, which I love. Honestly, the dynamic was a little, I would say, different. I really wouldn't know what to compare it to. Obviously, it's the first time I ever introduced a man to my son, period.
Ah, okay.
So the first time I ever did it. So I feel like I had like butterflies. I was kind of nervous. It happened completely by accident. It was just like one day that Maverick had gotten out of nap time and then came downstairs early, and Ivan was still upstairs, and I was like, oh, so I texted him like, hey, I'm going to take him outside, whatever. I got so like unsure.
Like words like, oh.
Yeah. Cause we were only a couple months in. I was madly in love with him and I knew he was going to be a part of my future. But I also was like, is this a good time? Like when, how do you do this? You know? So he texted me, he's like, not a problem. I'm ready to shake hands with the little man. Like he had told me that.
Yeah.
And so he came downstairs, introduced himself, and that was it. Like Maverick every morning goes, Ivan, from his bed, and they're best friends. I'm so grateful
That's
for that.
That's amazing.
He's taken stepdaddy role, like so insane. Like he's just so good at it.
Yeah.
So
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because it must have been important because like your kid has to, you guys, you're moving quick, you guys are going to get married. He has to like.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know,
well,
Ivan,
I think right? that I needed to see someone that was willing to be a stepdad. What does a stepdad mean? Like helping me pick him up from school or watching him so I could go to yoga or Pilates, or like I needed you to have a stepfather role. Sometimes I think people think of like a stepdad position is like completely hands off. Maverick has his dad in his life, you know, like 100%. His dad is super involved, and me and him are very close. We're very, very good friends. We talk to each other every single day, and he's very good friends with Ivan.
He told us that once before.
Yeah, I needed someone that would come in and be a part of that. Like, hey, I am friends with my son's father. We will always be friends. My relationship with him is important, and it has to be because we have a child in the middle. So I needed someone who would be accepting of that. And someone who is like, yes, I'll help pick up Maverick, or yeah, I'll stay home and watch him. No problem. Do what you have to do. And he was like that on his own. And I just knew he was going to be awesome.
Does Ivan, is he able to like, cause it's not his son. Is he able to discipline him? Can he like raise his voice, or are you like, how is that?
That's a good question.
Right.
That's a good question. I think that each mom might have their own idea of like what's allowed or not allowed with their partner. And then I think also too, that kind of gives you like a really good insight on who you're with, right? Okay. Like how they handle hard moments with your kid, because you're gonna have them.
For sure.
Ivan always like kind of got down to his level, like would sit down next to him or something and be like, hey, like we can't do that because you need the way that we talk to mommy is super important. We have to make sure we're respecting her. We have to make sure that we're acting in a way that's like a gentleman. And he's just good at that. There have been times where he's like, hey, we don't do that, and he gets like stern. And I love that. Like, I have backup in the house, you know? Yeah. I think that, obviously, like, no one's ever touching my kid. No one's ever putting their hands on my kid. Like, that's never going to happen.
Okay.
But I can tell that Ivan's not that type of person. We had serious conversations before he even met Maverick about, like, how does he think is a normal way to discipline a child? When we were dating.
An interview process.
Yeah, when we were dating, those things are important to me.
That is super important.
I don't want to bring, like, somebody who's a crazy person around my child. Just like I would make, like, we would go out and we'd get super drunk. And if he was to be an angry alcoholic, that would be something that I would, like, have a big question mark. Like,
right.
What if he goes out drinking, comes home, and the kids are acting up? Like, I always think things out really, really through. And he never did any of that. Obviously he was just great. He checked off all my boxes in so many different ways. And some boxes that I always thought, like, these have to be checked off, but it was kind of like none of it even mattered because he was so good in all these other areas. I didn't care if he checked those off or not even, you know? So I'm always up for him having my back. I'm always up for, like, you know, a stern voice to be like, we do not do that. We don't disrespect mommy. And, you know, Maverick's dad is like I said, close with Ivan.
In the picture. And in the picture,
and he's an amazing father. So I think that Maverick has just learned he has, like, very good, powerful, you know, men that respect me as a woman. So that's, yeah, I mean, it's just a blessing. It really is.
That sounds amazing.
Did Ivan ever have any, like, kind of hesitation or any concerns about you having such a good relationship with your son's father? I ask because it's hard. You rarely hear this.
Yeah, you know?
Very rare.
It's hard. Yeah.
I'm wondering now, from his point of view, did he ever have anything to be like, hey, did anything ever come about?
Never that I'm aware of. You know what I mean? I think that he's such a confident man that he didn't care about that. It's like I always tell him too, like, I don't care, like, what he wants to do or where he wants to go or any of those things, right? Like, I'm choosing to marry a man that I don't have to worry about his choice of, is he going to end up in a strip club at 2 a.m. after a night out with the boys? He will never make that decision. So I don't have to be uncertain or, like, worried, or with him in a room full of, like, you know, if he wants to go to, he loves going to Twin Peaks and stuff like that. Like, I don't care. Like, what is he going to do? I know what my fiance's intentions are. I know the type of man he is, you know? I think that he just knows the type of woman I am, and trust is a huge factor there. Yeah. I mean, we've all gone to Disney together, like as a big group, like all of us. Yeah. And I think that's fun that we're able to have this large family dynamic, you know? And there's a lot of love there. There's a lot of just compassion. And I think it's a very, very powerful thing that you can have when everyone is able to put pride and ego aside and just remember, like, there is a child in the mix. And this child came into this world, right? Like, because we brought him into it, and now we're not going to make his life miserable by fighting the whole time. So let's just be one big family and figure it out. And, you know, if he has a, you know, someone in his life that I'll always be respectful of, obviously. And yeah, it's just something that I think you just have to, like, grow up and just get along, you know?
Yeah, but I think this, I mean, it's a very rare thing to hear. But it also says so much about you and the character and the person that you are, because you have a relationship with the father of your kid, the biological father of your kid.
Yeah.
You have now an amazing relationship, it sounds, with Ivan.
Yeah.
And they also have.
And they have, yeah. And yeah. Then,
a relationship as well.
With each other. That, yeah. And then you and your kid, you guys are able to communicate in a way where it's like, this is the father 100%. Of your cat. This is your father. This will always be your father. But, you know, this is a man that I'm marrying with, and he's living with us now. And so that takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of responsibility.
I think you're also the
No. Yeah. What I'm saying is just like, you're, in a way, which you always say, like, the glue that holds everything together.
For sure.
And you're, in a way, able to navigate these situations in a way that's very admirable, I would say.
And Maverick's father, he was always, like, cool. Because I can also see on his side almost being like, oh, you're dating someone else now? Mm-hmm. Like, you never...
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak too much for him. And he's a really, like, private person, too. So I don't really, like, share too much of the chaos. But I will tell you that, you know, it's not always easy, obviously.
Okay.
But for that aspect, when someone was becoming a part of my life, the only thing he cared about wasn't that there was somebody coming in my life or anything, was... Maverick. Is he good with Maverick?
Yeah, that's of course.
And he's very mature, man. I got to give that guy credit too.
100%. That it was, is, you know, like, I think that at the, you know, some point in life, here, you have, you know, to grow up. When you have a kid, it forces you to become a different person. But I think that we always understood each other. I told him, listen, the day that Maverick meets another man, you'll know about it. Like, before it happens, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do this. And he always told me the same. If I have a partner come into my life, absolutely will know when Maverick meets her. And that was just something that we understood from the beginning. And, you know, it just happened that neither one of us had ever introduced Mav to anybody because both of us were protective parents. And that was great. Like I said, it's I've always, I think, made sure that, you know, the people that are around me, friends, family, whatever, we're all on the same page and same goals and stuff. And we were, thank God.
Bravo, bravo. Because wow. That's a very rare thing to hear these days. Yeah. So kudos to you guys, for sure. Thanks, love guys. That. I had a question. So since you guys are going to get married, are you taking Ivan's last name? Have you thought about it?
I'm like, what do I do? Like, I'm like.
Okay, what do you think?
He goes, yeah, you fucking take it.
Yeah.
I was here. I was like, I don't know. KH is like such, you know, like the initials, like KH. I was like, KD is so powerful, KD, right? Like Kevin Durant, KD. Like, it was, cool. I was like, I love my initials. Those are serious. And he was like, you literally take my last name or I'm going to kill you.
Or hyphenated, maybe.
Yeah, I thought about hyphenated,
but he said no. Also,
no, like that's weird.
He's like, no, no. Only one.
That's
only
one. It. Yeah, that's it. So yeah,
sounds like you're on board with it.
I will be taking his last name. Yeah,
I like it. Man,
that was pretty harmless. I was expecting to be a little bit more fireworks. Yeah.
I had a list of certain things I want to whip.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, you're on wedding expectations, right? You just clicked on it. No, I have a MS too. On it. Oh, co-parenting.
I we see like your name, like boop, boop. We have like a note share that we like topics that we want to.
I see you clicking so around.
okay, this one. So you have, how old is Maverick, if you don't mind me asking?
Three.
You think there will be more in the future? How old are you now?
29.
Oh, you have time.
Oh my God, I'm going to be 30 in February. And I'm here like.
I'll be 31 in March. You think you want more, you guys want more kids?
Yeah. Potentially. We would love kids. Yeah. Ivan's the one that was here. Like, I ask him, I'm like, do you see this? You want more of these things?
How old is he?
Ivan is my same age. Okay, well, he's 30. So he'll be 31 next year when I'll be 30. He's one year older. But yeah, I'm always asking him, like, are you sure? Like, when we have all of our nieces and nephews and my son together, I'm like,
okay.
That's great. It's school. Chaos. He wants them. He wants more. And so I'm like, fine, I will have these more. Well, I really, really would like a girl.
That would be amazing.
And I see Ivan with my niece and I'm just like, ugh, you're so annoying. Yeah. Like he's girl gonna dad, be such dad. A good dad. So yeah, I'm like, fudge.
Love it.
Yes, now we'll probably end up like, I mean, hopefully having like a boy and then a girl and a little girl in my life. I just don't know what I would do. Like I would just be like, ugh. Bankrupt for sure.
Precious. I love it.
Let me ask you, I mean, you've done this once before. If the plan is to have a second child, you're gonna have to go down this road again. When it comes to picking out the names of children, because my girlfriend and I, we've been talking just to get ideas, just to make sure that if we are in that direction, which
you guys are on the same page a little bit.
We have like a plan. Yeah. It's almost like, well, how do we come to an agreement on names? How do you kind of approach that when it comes to picking out the names? Who wins? Where's the compromise?
Okay, so I think, so for Maverick, I thought he was going to be a girl and I wanted to name her King.
Name her King?
King, K-I-N-G. And I was like, I want her to be named King.
Correct. Oh, okay, and also
yeah,
King,
so and then his dad was like, King? Like he was like, what about, like, and then we were just like going back and forth with names and I was like, I don't know why, I just love the name King. And he's like, all right, it's kind of cool. Like, I like it, whatever. And he kind of was just on board. We found out it was a boy. And then we had talked about, we never really like talked about names. Maverick was a super accident. So we had to start deciding like, what names do we like? My nephew's middle name is Maverick. His name is Finn Maverick. So I was like, I've always loved the name Maverick. And then he was like, what about Maverick King? And I was like, done.
That's
cool.
Very easy.
Yeah,
that
was very easy. Cool. Yeah. And so now Ivan and I have actually had time to plan talking names.
Okay. Oh, great.
So we sat down we went to like a nice fancy little lunch and we were like just talking and we went over all these different names and Ivan was like, no. And I'm like, man, this is a lot of work when you have to like think about it.
I'm
like,
hard.
Okay, what about this? And then I said one name and he's like, all the way. And it was weird because I was like, I really like this one too.
So the name just kind of clicked.
It just
on
clicked.
His.
I think that if you are back and forth on the name, it's not the name.
Oh, it has to like be like, okay. Like,
it just works. Yeah, it just works where both of you are like, I like it. I could do it. Or like it grows on you even, okay. You know? So
that's the, yeah. Okay.
I think you got to keep, you just have to keep trying.
Yeah. It's bounce ideas. It's just reps.
Yeah.
No, I'm just wondering.
Good for you guys to start now.
Too bad. I mean, we've talked about, I think that, I don't even know anymore. So my girlfriend, she has two brothers.
Okay.
And one of them has two kids, boy and a girl. The other one has three kids, three boys and a girl. And all of their names, well, on one side, all of their names are like Americanized.
Okay.
I'm Latino, so I need the kid's name to also be somewhat Latino. Okay. My parents, they only speak Spanish. So if I were to name our kid Finn, they're going to be like, Finn de gay. That's
like, my mom called my son Burger King forever. Burger King.
Yeah. You see, so you got that. It has to work, right? Nice. So then, so all their names are very Americanized. So my only thing is that I needed to be at least like Latino.
Okay.
Right? So then that's kind of where like my little roadblock is. So we kind of did agree, I think, on a possible name. However, she prefers the English spelling. I prefer the Spanish spelling. So bleep it out just in case, because just I don't think it's creepy.
Sure. Talk about
it. Yeah.
So I wanted it. So we're looking at probably. Right.
Okay.
I like it with.
Yeah.
She likes it with.
Got you.
Every single time. Beep beep beep. So then I'm like, the. It's like Americanized. You know, you write that out, and it's like. What even is that in Spanish, you know?
The same way you say, it's the same way. Sophia.
So you don't care?
No,
you think
care.
It does. The spelling doesn't matter?
The spelling doesn't matter.
I think the spelling still matters.
So you just tell him.
I would say spelling matters as a person who has their name Carly with a K. And it's become a significant part of my life.
Boom. Okay. Yeah. So what do you think?
So, well, I can't really say it because then we're going to know. But there,
no, beep, 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 beep.
Well, there's
like in my situation. What do you think about my situation?
Okay, podcast.
I was literally thinking that. So the F,
and it's actually like cool. Kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
On top of that, it's also I think more Hispanic. With
yeah,
like telephone, telefono, F. Telephone.
Yeah. PH. I think weird spelling is always really cool. I've always told people to, like, I know people that come up with, like, oh, I want to name them this, but then this will be their nickname. I'm like, just fucking name them the nickname.
Really?
Yeah. Like, oh, we're going to call him JJ. Just make his fucking name JJ. Like, why not?
What do you think about that?
You're going to call JJ? Him like that the whole life. He's going to be called by that name. Why does he have to have like a more
have you
formal
seen
name?
Elon Musk's child's name?
Yeah.
It's like Z, Shay.
Like a retard.
Plus three. You know? And you're going to tell me you can't name your kid.
You can't, say that
you can't name your kid JJ, dude.
Yeah, come on.
I just think that's a little weird, though.
What?
You would like naming your kid a nickname.
I wouldn't do that.
Like, you know.
JJ?
Well, think about it. Like, if you just named your daughter, like, Kat. Or, like.
But it's
like
why it should
not?
Be Catherine.
Or,
but
exactly.
It's Catherine, but then.
Says who? Says who?
The name police.
No, but I'm saying it's you're like,
you are
in
the parent,
charge of your
though.
Kid. You're the parent. Like, there's kids named North now. You can do whatever the hell you want. Like, I've thought of such weird names for kids, and I'm just like, who says that, like, you can't have that name? Like, I love the name of certain things. Like, you meet people whose kids are named, like, Nickel. And you're like, what?
There's a story of a family who had a child, right? And they didn't even expect it, like, with one of those oopsies. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They were so surprised that they wanted to name the child For Real. Like, are you for real? With a number four. That's the only way that they didn't allow it. They said because it's a number you can't. But then again, Elon Musk has a weird name, so I don't know. But they want to name him For Real. Yeah. For Real.
I just think however you name your kids, whenever someone looks at a resume, whenever I've looked at resumes, the names will be what catches my attention. If you get a stack of 50 resumes in front of you, because I used to be in charge of like hiring for a big company when I was a manager for them, and I would go through resumes and just see if there was like a name that just made me feel like something,
okay,
you know?
Yeah.
And then I would look at them and then I would kind of break it down. And then the people that had like a unique name or something, I would look at them at the top of the resume first, and then everyone else would come
it would
after.
Stand out a little bit more than like a Juan Perez.
Yeah. Like, but and I don't really know why, but I do think people that have like a unique name always match it for the most part. Like, I've never really met someone that has a like a clever name or something a little different where I'm just not like,
and they're goof, they're like,
yeah,
they're very cool. Yeah, like, you know, my brother-in-law is Douglas Benjamin, and he's fucking awesome.
Douglas Benjamin.
He's British.
That sounds like a brand.
He's British.
He does.
Right?
And I'm just here. I'm like, yeah, that matches him. Marvin he's Schultz. Freaking awesome. No, but it's cool. Like, yeah. I love the name. How many times a day do you hear somebody named Marvin? It's like, I don't.
Yeah. You do have a good name.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Different.
You think so?
Not really. Yeah. Not that fucking
unique. I do think strong names, though, are important. Your kids carry that for the rest of their life.
True.
Even like a girl introduces themselves, like that, they have like a strong name. It's always different, you know?
Have you thought of names?
Every time I have an idea of something and I bring it up to Claudia, she's like, no.
Can you give us an example? Is it okay? Because I want to see how wild you're
yeah,
you're
like
reaching.
What's one that both of you have already decided no on?
Yeah, because you're probably thinking of some German ass name, and she's like, dude, I'm Colombian.
He's like, Schnitzel.
Yeah. She's like, the middle name. No.
I mean, I would love to have a girl. So for me, I'm thinking like I've thought about some girls. Boy names, I can't even think of anything that I like.
No, it's hard.
It's
right?
hard.
Yeah, boys are hard.
All the same thing.
Girl names, I like, let's say, like Lily. I think that's a pretty name.
Lily.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty name. But then she'll be like, sometimes she'll say the same thing, like, oh, it has to make sense, like in a Hispanic way, because her family's Hispanic too. Lily. Her mom, yeah. It's easier to say, though, no?
What else do you got? Lily Schultz.
Not bad.
What else you got?
What else I got? I can't really think of any other girl name that I.
That's
that
it?
I love. Yeah. Like
what do you guys think of middle names?
I don't have a middle name, so.
My middle name is a middle letter.
Okay.
So quick story time. My dad's middle name is Vicente. All right. So my name is just Christian V. Vieira. My dad's middle name is Vicente. So he wanted me to have his middle name. My mom's like, I don't want this motherfucker to have a middle name. No middle name whatsoever. He's like, all right, fine. Compromise. Just the letter V. She's like, why the fuck would I want to just put a V? That's even stupider than Vicente. Nothing. So while there, I'm coming out of her. Yeah, I guess he spoke to the nurse and he's like, put the V. So then we get the birth certificate back a while later and it says Christian Vivier. And she's like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, oh, I told you to put the V. So my middle name is just out of a letter.
That's fucking wild.
I tell people a story and at first I was a little bit self-conscious, but now I think it's a little different.
That's cool.
Chris the Fifth, you know?
That's very cool.
It's a little different, right?
Yeah.
So then I don't even know what to think anymore because do I want a middle name? Do I not want a middle name? I want to add a middle letter.
I think the middle name is
a lot of opportunities.
I think the middle name is kind of cool to kind of honor maybe like a grandparent. Like my sister is Zoe Maria and my grandma's first name is Maria. So I think that could be kind of cool to honor like maybe a grandparent or some family member.
So my middle name is two grandparents who fought over each other. And my dad was like, this is annoying. And he meshed them together. My parents hadn't even named me. Like when I was coming out, there was just like Carly Simon was on the radio. And then I guess like my dad was like, Carly. And then we'll put it with a K because it'll be cool. And then Marie and Betty were fighting over like Marie, Betty. And so then my dad was like, Metty. So now my middle name is M-E-T-T-Y for literally Marie and Betty. Damn. That's my freaking middle name.
I guess that's a good
now
way
you guys know
it.
My middle name. You have to come to the wedding.
Oh, in my.
I like that.
That reminds me. I have a neighbor down the street. My parents' house. His father's name was Horacio,
okay.
And his mother was a medium. Orami is his name.
No.
Orami. So Orami, if you ever come across this, just know I miss you, bro.
Good times.
But yeah, Orami. What else you got?
On the top of the list, or
no, whatever.
Kind of running almost out. My fucking light already died.
If we may.
The card game, yeah.
Yes, so we have a card game. You know, we have extra ones here?
We do. I'll get you.
We're going to give you one of our. I think it'll be cool for you guys to play.
Okay.
It's called The Basics. The idea behind this game was essentially we have here on the back, like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite number? Do you have a middle name? These are questions that you think you need to ask. But where the fuck does that even take you? Nowhere.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So then we wanted to dig a little bit deeper on the actual foundation of what are some questions that you should already be asking. You should already know these answers. So if you've already been dating your man, you should know some of the answers to these questions.
Okay.
If not, this is a way to, you know,
reinvigorate
the
relationship.
Dig a little deeper. Night,
you Ooh, open up a bottle of wine.
Yeah, so I think this would be fun for you guys. So there's a lot of questions that's it's more catered for relationships. There are a lot of questions that, for example, you and your boys can play. We've done it here with the podcast. Uh-huh. But I pulled out a couple of questions that I think we're going to be a little bit more specific to, I guess, the topic as well as current situation.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
If you would like to play, we would love to begin with the question.
Yeah, this is awesome. Just to get a little preview,
right?
I love it.
Alrighty, so question number one. What is the best thing about your relationship with Ivan?
I would say that I feel safe. I feel safe. I think, like, the girls have such an insane checklist, and I'm like, but does he make you feel like you could talk about how bad your day was and your girl drama, or like if you're feeling insecure in business or work, or like, you know, you have imposter syndrome? Like, what type of space does he give you to feel like that? And most of them don't have an answer to that. I would say that Ivan makes me feel so freaking safe. Like, I could tell him anything. I'll never be judged. He's always just there to be a part of whatever I need to, you know? And that's so much more powerful than a lot of other things that people are looking for. So,
what do you think he would say about you?
Ugh, and probably that, like, I'm a full time comedian. Duh. He's probably like, I live with the funniest person ever.
I love.
I make jokes and I'm like, babe, I'm so funny. Like, and he won't be laughing at all. He's like, you're so annoying.
That's so funny, dude. I love it. I love it. All right, I'm gonna ask you two more questions. Okay, do you have any deal breakers? So things that you would that would make you seriously reconsider the relationship.
Like my relationship with Ivan, or just in general?
General?
However you want to approach it. Yeah, if you play with him,
I don't feel like I have any deal breakers because I wouldn't be marrying him.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Like, I could say.
So then in general, yeah.
In general, I would say when I was dating, things that I would look for is a man who is kind, which is very hard to find. And then giving is something, because you could have a man that has a ton of money and you'll wake up on your birthday with nothing. So somebody who's actually giving.
Generous, is that what? Generous.
Like a generous person, like someone who just wants to, like, I guess, not provide for you, because I wouldn't say like pay my light bills.
Selflessly.
Stuff like that.
Give.
Yeah. Yes. Like a giving person.
Not expecting something in return. Right. Just wanting to do it because that's who
help,
they are.
However they can help. Like, yeah. I took your car to get cleaned, or I put air in the tires. Like, just because they know that I'm a stressed out mom who's also doing so many things, they want to give. And then my deal breakers would definitely be anyone who just drinks all the time, or drugs are a huge fucking deal breaker for me.
Of course.
Drugs. Like, that's a hell no. Or like something that you have to take every day to like regulate emotions and things like that.
Ooh.
Those things are really hard for me to accept, because I know people who, like, I just feel like, you know, you constantly have to like up your dosage and stuff like that, or you don't really know who the person actually is. And then how long have you been on it? Have you ever tried to be without it? Like, things like that come into play, just because I'm always scared of like substance abuse or things like that, you know?
Would weed fall in that category?
100%.
Really?
Fuck out of here with weed. Yeah. Just because, you know what I mean? Is like, I'm an adult and I have like stuff happening in my life and a kid, and I don't want someone who's like, like all day, or like reeking of weed. That's so unprofessional. I can't take you to like networking events, and like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, the type of lifestyle I have, to be around my son with weed, fucking way. Like, I just feel like, you know, that's, it doesn't work for me. That's now great. If you want to be like, I don't know, we're out of town on vacation and you have like, you know, weed on you somehow, I don't know, I guess I wouldn't be so mad. Yeah. But it's not my vibe at all.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, and any type of anger issues, like, I that's a big thing. How do you react when your order's wrong, or something's not going your way, or you're in a fight with a family member, or, you know, how you interact with people? That's huge. Anger issues, drugs, like that type of shit. No way. Yeah. Good way.
I got one more.
Let's do it.
It's what are some core values you want to teach your children?
Oh. In a world that has lost all of its morals and values.
I want to actually close it off with a question of what you think of the world and where it's going. But before that, what are some core values?
I really would like my children to cherish a relationship with a partner, a singular partner. You know, I would hope that my kids want to be a husband and wife, that's a mom and dad. You know, like, I want them to think like, oh, I'm not just going to have kids and like, we don't have to be married and fuck marriage and it's just paperwork and stuff. I want my kids to like hold that as some sort of value. And then I would hope that they are children of God and that they're very, very close to God. And also that they believe in themselves. Yeah. That they can manifest whatever they want. If they want to, like, mom, I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to go be a part of NASA. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Like, I pray and I hope that I'm, like, a good enough mother to be able to instill that value in them, that they can literally do whatever they want in this world and be powerful if they just choose to believe in themselves, you know? So I would say those are the most important. As long as they're kids of God and they're not lazy as shit and they're hustlers and they get shit done, you know, and they're good people that are kind humans and have a foundation of a family, I did good in life.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great way to close off.
And yeah, just before we close off, kind of the direction of where the world is going, especially when it comes into like dating and expectations. I think you had written that down.
Yeah, I did.
What do you think? And if you can piggyback, because you're the one that wrote that one, or yeah, all of them. What do you think of like current like expectations of people who are currently dating right now? Do you think that things are just a little all over the place? Are we
crazy now?
Yeah, like, what do you think?
It feels crazy. Like, I've been out of the dating market for a long time, few years now. You have as well. And so we're in this field where we see the videos, we see the people, and we talk to people.
Like Cheesecake Factory. Have you seen that video of Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory. It's a
woman. Oh, you got a kid, so you're like off the las redes sociales.
Wait, tell me.
Yeah, so it was a first date, and the guy picked her up. Very nice gentleman. He was kind, opened up the door, picked her up, blah, 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 planned the date, and he took her to Cheesecake. And she didn't want to get off the car. She started recording. She's like, oh, this guy took me to Cheesecake on a first date. I'm not going to get off this car. You know, I'm dressed like this. I'm fucking the shit, and I don't deserve to be taken to a chain restaurant.
Yeah, so let's get your initial reaction first, and then we'll provide extra details.
My initial reaction is, if somebody did that to my son, I would, like, I immediately get sad. Like, I get emotional. Like, I want to cry because I think of, like, that poor kid.
Yeah.
It's like, either two things. One, he had a ton of money and just wanted to see if she's a down-ass girl, right? You know, that kid worked his ass off, and that was, like, where he could afford to take her, and he went out of his way to have his car cleaned or whatever and look nice and take her to a place that's a decent fucking place. I go to Cheesecake Factory all the time. Ivan and I DoorDash Cheesecake Factory. We crave it. So it's like, you know, to think of, like, somebody who might have been so excited and have a girl like that put him down. And I would ask, like, what do you bring to the table that makes you have this type of authority?
That's what I said.
Of, you know, what level of restaurant you're eating at and type thing, you know? And also, too, it's like, if you come from a level of, like, class, or even if you are, like, a wealthy individual and you are a good person, you will eat anywhere. That's why the wealthiest people in the world wear Hanes t-shirts and jeans. They really just don't care. Like, you know, I think that's horrible. That's my first initial reaction is, like, if someone did that to my son, I would fucking, like, cry my heart out. I think that's ruthless and that's just so wrong. And like, anyone who thinks you're
it.
Above Cheesecake Factory, fuck off. Like, that's so rude.
Some people say, well, it's the first date, you know, but like, Cheesecake Factory is nice. It's not wrong.
No, but the problem is, I think one of the main details that we're missing out is that he goes, I was going to take you here.
Yeah.
And it was, and she goes, that's where we should be going. And he's like, you made me wait for you an extra hour.
So we lost the reservation.
That's what I'm thinking. And if it wasn't a nice spot where she's like, that's where we got to be going to, who knows if it was a difficult reservation to even get. And he goes, this is where I was going to take you, but you made me wait downstairs. I was supposed to pick you up at this time. I showed up at this time. And look, I don't mind waiting in the car because, you know, it's a first date. I don't need to wait inside your apartment or your house, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I'm here waiting for an hour for you outside your house. You're ready finally. And now I take you somewhere else. Because you took too long. It's almost like, you know, who are you?
Yeah.
And for me, like, one of the main things that I said is the fact that you're going on a blind date, right? Who are you? It's not like you have a laundry list of people waiting to take you out to all these nice fancy places. Like, you're going on a blind date that possibly someone set you up on because you're single and no one is reaching out to you.
Well, that's how Meghan Markle met Harry.
Where?
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were a blind date.
Wasn't it through like a friend or something like
that? A friend set them up on a blind date. Uh-huh. And he had like the cars waiting outside because he was like, most blind dates go terrible. So then he showed up like 20 minutes late by accident. And then they like started talking. And then that's it. They hit it off. And that's literally how they met, was blind date. But blind I do dates. Think people are way too entitled these days.
Okay.
There's a huge like, there's a huge wave of people. It's like all over TikTok and stuff too that I see these girls like requiring these very specific lifestyles. And I definitely think to myself, I'm like, you know, you just asked me about morals and values, like for my son, right? And I just think to myself, like, I'm like, I really, really hope my daughter one day never looks to a man to provide this very elaborate lifestyle. I hope that she wants those things on her own and will work hard to get there. And if she comes across a man who is successful, which you will, it's going to happen, right? If you're a successful woman, you're rolling with the other people who are successful. Networking, you're in the same places. You're doing business with these people. You're going to eventually meet someone who's in your same realm, right? So eventually if she came across a man and he could make her life that much more better because he is like at a very successful level, then awesome. So be it. Like fly private all around the world and have that fun life. But I really hope that, you know, the way that I raise my daughter isn't like she strives to meet someone that can fly her private because she's going to be broke the whole time and have no goals, you know? Yeah. And it's crazy too. I think that you could also just make a really good salary and have a job that makes you happy and you could still be successful because you have core values. So it's like, if you ran into a man who made incredible amounts of money, you would be bringing to the table empathy, compassion, love. When the stock markets are crashing, he feels like he's supported by his partner through it. Like she has ideas. She's creative. She's funny. She is caring. So she knows when he's having a bad day, maybe she leaves him a little note or something. Things like that are really what matters the most. You can have all the money in the world and still feel empty. That's why they say money isn't everything. That saying didn't come from nowhere. Right? Came from somewhere because there's people who have it and they still feel a sense of emptiness. Yeah. So that's a fun life to date and be like, I want to be taken to the 5-star restaurants. I want to, you know, like, oh, it's the coolest thing in the world to go to ZZ's. Like, oh, it's so cool to go here. And I'm like, I guess for how long until you blink and you're like 35 and you're like, I just wasted my whole youth. And now I'm like, I've invested time in men who only cared about like looks, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I've also wasted my whole youth and now I want a family and now I want all this. And now you get put in like a very uncomfortable, you know, like position, I guess. I don't know. It's a little bit fucked out here.
It really is. I feel like, and social media has kind of amplified a lot of these things. Cause like, I feel like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, these expectations just weren't there. Like people would just want to be with somebody who's good, who treats them right. And who will make their life better. And to somebody who's there for them. And now it's more like, well, what can you give me? And it's like, women are like that. Men are like that too. It's like, you know, it's not just one gender, but it just feels like overwhelming sometimes.
Haven't you ever seen the TikTok of the girl that she's like, my man asked me, what do you bring to the table? I told him I could bring another man. Sprinkle, sprinkle.
I saw that
you
one.
Seen her? Yeah. So when I think of things like that, I laugh because it's true. It's like, if you're going to sit here and count what I bring to the table, I could just go get a man who's not focused on what I bring to the table. Yeah. Same way a guy could go get another girl who's not focused on like what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
I think just the world has lost that genuine happy connection. Is the one thing that I always say about Ivan and I, not that we're perfect like in any way obviously, but I obviously love my partner a lot, but the one thing I always say is that we are friends. I genuinely want to hang out with my partner. I want to hang out with him. He's fucking cool. Like I want to go smoke hookah with him and have like a glass of wine, or I want to go just explore a new place with my partner. That's a really big deal. Some people are together for the wrong reasons. And then when kids go and there's nothing to do, they divorce because they hate each other. Yeah. I love that Ivan is my friend first and that I want to dance and party with him more than anything, you know? So yeah, I don't know. Thank God we're not single.
I agree, dude. Yeah, it'd be rough out here, man.
I mean, I was single with a kid. Imagine. It was scary. You're out here like, this is what's out. It's not even, I would say like, this is what's out here because entitlement is so wild. I do bring a lot to the table as a female, besides being a good human to my core and just having strong family values and stuff. I'm a successful woman. I have my own business. I'm also a fantastic mother. I take care of myself, my body. I like work out. Like those are things that I'm disciplined with that I've put time and effort into. And so I met like a lot of different successful men, just kind of like shaking hands and meeting them and stuff. But as you get to know people from like a friendship standpoint or seeing them as a third party, you start to see like, oh wow, like that person does this and that's so messed up. Or like this person says they're a person of God, but like, look how they just treated that person. How could you do that? Mm. Once you start seeing people to the core and you peel back their layers, you think to yourself, like from the outside, these people seem like that's a great idea. Like these girls are like, I want to fly private. I want to do this. Wait till you have a family member that dies and that guy literally doesn't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
Wait till you're crying because like you just lost everything. And he's like, well, I know you're going to figure it out. And what you thought he was going to take his millions and like fix your life for you. That's not the cases. And if you're with the person for the wrong reasons, they're with you for the wrong reasons. Because the second that you say, I want a kid, I want to be married, and they know what you're with them for, they're not stupid. They know what it's about. So then that's when they say like, well, I'm not ready for that life.
Yeah,
So move on. And you find out you just wasted 6 years because you wanted to have this rich lifestyle. Now you're alone and you don't have anything. Like maybe your bags he bought you, like, okay, you're going to have to sell them all.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like at least at the end of the day, I've always said that I've held my own. Any man can come into my life with however much money. And at the end of the day, I'm still my own individual. You know, I still enjoy working. I still enjoy my business.
You're successful.
Yeah.
And doing the things that you love doing. I think that's so important.
But it's morals and values.
Yeah. I think it comes down to it. Like we're all in relationships, healthy relationships, and it's not by coincidence either. Like you don't just fucking end up in a healthy relationship. You work your way towards it. You are the person, you attract the right people if you are the right person. And so I think we've all put in the work to become this person that, you know, is able to attract really, really good people. Because the truth of the matter is if we weren't with the people that we're with, we probably would be with somebody else who's also very good. And that's no shade at anybody else, because same thing without the people that we're with.
Yep.
Ivan would probably be with an amazing woman, right? Mm-hmm. And Christina too, and Claudia as well. So it's like, but we're also really good people. And so
right.
I think we deserve to be in healthy relationships.
You know? Every healthy relationship starts with yourself, right?
Yep.
Yep. And if you're not in therapy, get in therapy.
Start. Yeah. And if you don't have our card game, got our card game.
Exactly. Buy our card game. Buy our book. We also have a course, and I don't know what else we have. Just go to the link in our bio, coffeebreakup.com.
Buy everything.
Buy everything.
Buy Casa Carly.
Yeah. Oh, yourself. Actually, oh. Hey, it's time to break up. Yeah. Sorry, Carly. It's not you. It's us. So, yeah, please, final thoughts, anything that you'd like to say to the camera before we wrap up, and then sell yourself on where they can find you.
You know, I have no final thoughts. This was awesome. I always love, like, it's just, I love watching you guys in general. The whole thought was already spilled throughout the entire time. Yeah. I have no final thoughts. I think the final thought would be, I wish that everyone would lead with a little bit more compassion and empathy and always hold themselves to a standard that they wish their children would hold themselves to. And then buy Casa Carly, buy all of it. Buy like insane amounts of Casa.
Yeah.
I want your partners to question why you're purchasing so much from my business. Casa Carly, we're having insane holiday sales. We were just in Vogue, in the front cover of Vogue, which is huge. And we have our warehouse now, a giant, beautiful showroom and shipping facility right across from the Falls Shopping Center. So you can come see us in person now.
So people can buy in person as well, or is it just online?
Yes, it's a shipping facility, and then the front half is retail, and then we're building out the back offices. So.
Incredible, dude.
I know.
What an exciting chapter for you. I wish you all the best. Congrats on the wedding to come. And everything else that comes with it. And
thank
it's going to be amazing
you.
For you.
Thank
you, know?
You so much,
It's
guys.
Crazy. We've been here for 2 hours. You just brought up, you know, the wedding, whatever. I'm like, that's right. We talked about all that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we did.
2 hours.
2 hours.
No way.
Yeah, 2 hours. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen,
bye.
Peace out. Thank you, guys.
Till next time. Bye.